Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You here at WCWP.org. And Otto Loos and Christina Liu and I have been talking about a journey into mindfulness. And we're starting out talking a little bit about yoga. And Otto's had some really, really great questions that I think a lot of people have who, you know, are curious about yoga or have always been curious about yoga, but haven't attempted it yet. So Otto, by the end, I do expect you to take one of my classes.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Lock
well,
in. First,
you too, Christina.
That's right.
The first problem I would have is I saw you sit on the mat with your legs crossed underneath you kind of thing.
Yes.
Now, that could be a problem. I'm pretty agile.
Yes.
But maybe getting down is okay. Getting up might be an issue. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do.
I don't think every person can sit the way I saw you on the video and be able to get up without somebody helping them.
Right. Okay. So that's a great point. And I think that I have a lot of good answers for that. I think a lot of people are hesitant to taking yoga because they're like, there's no way I'm doing that. So if you're able to get down on the mat, likely you're able to get up. So there's a couple of different options. First of all, we start out, and most men too, have very tight hamstrings. So that's the upper part behind the leg, very tight. Usually, you know, from youth, they stretch and then become muscular. And usually they stretch quickly because boys, young men, tend to have growth spurts, you know, and it kind of tightens up those hamstrings. So I'm also talking from what I learned in yoga. I'm not a doctor. I am not, you know, but these are things that I've come to understand about the body, having two sons and also having brothers, no girls in my world really, aside from me. So it's one of the things you can do too, is we use props. So you can sit on blocks or a bolster. So your hips are up a little bit higher. You don't have to cross your legs. You know, these are things that did not come natural to me either. Certainly it didn't come natural for me to be able to sit in that pose for sometimes the length of time that I do. And because I'm teaching, I have to also be a good guide. So it took a long time to be able, Otto, to sit in that pose. It didn't come natural. And there's also classes like chair yoga, where you can start out, you can take a chair yoga class, and you can do pretty much every single pose on the chair. And some people take chair yoga and just use the chair as a guide, because maybe there's like a lot of poses they can do standing. But like you, especially in the beginning, seated on the mat is not something you're comfortable with, because you're kind of concerned about getting up. But if you want to try it and you have a chair nearby, you can use that chair. Just make sure it's sturdy.
Right. We don't want them on wheels.
Not on wheels. Yeah. Certainly not on wheels, and absolutely sturdy. And another thing is, if you are practicing, especially if you're online on Zoom, you're practicing for the first time, you're going to be using a chair, you're going to be using a thing. Especially if you're alone, make sure someone knows that you're practicing yoga. Make sure, you know, because we do North Hempstead Television Yoga too. And it's just always a good thing to let someone know that you are practicing. I don't think anything will ever happen, but that goes for any kind of thing that you're doing, any kind of activity. I mean, I would too, you know. I mean, I fall at least twice a year doing the simplest of things. And, you know, so you just want to make people aware. But there's a lot of different ways to practice yoga, especially.
I think that's what's the important thing, you know. And, you know, as I sit here and listen, and I think that that's really the message to people who are listening, who are watching, because like we said, you know, you'll see things of yoga and you'll see people in these poses and you'll be like, well, there's no way I can do any of that. You know, you immediately, your brain gets turned off. And even you describing your journey is, you know, you're uncomfortable, like you're in this class, and everyone I think can relate to that feeling of, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to be judged. You know, it's like, so you get like all this pressure. And really the point is to be in your head and, you know, and experience it kind of yourself. And I think that that's the cool thing about yoga is you just describing that it's not this, you know, in a box kind of thing. You know, the fact that you could kind of choose what makes you more comfortable in doing these poses, you know, and building your way up to whatever, you know, you want to do, I think is really an important message for everyone to get, because I know everyone out there has these different, you know, views of what, you know, yoga looks like to them. So.
Well, what are your goals? I think is, you know, are your goals to be flexible and mobile?
Right.
Are your goals to strengthen muscles so you can lift 200 pounds? Or are you just doing this to relax and get your mind in a better place? Maybe all of those things. I don't know. I think it depends on each person.
Right,
me personally,
exactly.
I do exercise. I do my own. It's not yoga, but mm-hmm. I do bands and dumbbells and stretching, you know, this kind of stuff.
Perfect.
And the whole idea for me, and I only do like 15, 20 minutes, but to me, the whole thing is I want to maintain mobility. I want to be able to open up a box if I have to open it. I want to be able to lift something that's not 300 pounds, but I want to at least be able to lift a box that weighs 30 pounds or whatever. Yeah, I think everybody has to have goals. And frankly, most people who are getting older should have some of those goals, because it's important to help you during the aging process to have some mobility, you know, because without that and your mind, you really have a problem.
Right. You know? And you know what the wonderful thing about this is too, I mean, I talk to John a lot, John Ryan, about you're never too old to start something, right? Like, I mean, I became a yoga teacher in my 50s and I feel like I'm doing better, like understanding my limits too. I mean, that's just one thing. I'm not, you know, you talked about goals. I don't have unrealistic goals. You know, I'm going to like stay within my own practice and understand my body and how my body feels, and important how I feel after class. So you want to stay within your limits. However, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to foster something new or reach a little deeper. I mean, I do that too. You know, every day is very different. I mean, I don't know about you, Otto, but there are days I am on it. I mean, I'm teaching this class and breath work is good and the class is into it. And you know, there are days I go there and I have to push through where I'm not kind of getting as deep in a pose as I usually do, but I don't push myself. I'm like, okay, you know, my body's telling me something. I just come right back. And then I will sometimes even say that to the class. I'm going to say, you know, continue coming as deep into the pose as your body allows you to go. Make sure you're on your exhales right now. I'm retreating. I'm coming back. Listening to my body, and, you know, and that kind of empowers people too, because sometimes I think when they come to yoga, everybody has all these self-judgments and
right,
they want to say, oh, I could do this, but, you know, listen to your body. I'm listening to my body, but it's so important, Otto, that you continue to, you know, strengthen, use your muscles in whatever way you want, and whatever your goals are, you know, are terrific. And, you know, it's really great. And, you know, because this is kind of also, we're going to be talking about the journey into, you know, into mindfulness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
My journey wouldn't have happened if I didn't start with yoga, if I didn't question yoga, if I didn't learn the way I learned it. And, you know, even through my early practice, I wasn't as mindful, but I was learning how to release judgment. It's so important to be kinder to yourself and just, you know, accept where you are in life. I mean, you know, when you're in your 50s, a lot of things changes, you know, both for women and men. And, you know, I kind of got to a point where I just accepted it. I said, you know what, I'm just going to do my yoga. I mean, I was also going to the gym and I would go on the elliptical for 75 minutes. I mean, and then I started feeling not that great. Do I need to do that? No, I really don't. And you know, when I do 45 minutes or 30 minutes, I feel just as good. I have great lung capacity. My heart rate's excellent. So understanding that there are limits and you still are healthy and strong, you know, and just being realistic about your goals, which you are, Otto, is great, you know, just.
Well, I think that's true in life in general. Mm-hmm. Be realistic. Yeah, you're not a billionaire, but maybe you're not starving to death. You know, I'm not like I play golf. I'm never going to be Tiger Woods. I never would have been Tiger Woods even when I started. I used to tell people if I played golf 7 days a week with an instructor every day, I would never come even close to being a professional golfer. Fact, you know, so you're within your limits, what your capabilities are. So I play golf with the attitude that I'm out there to enjoy the surroundings and yeah, hit a couple of good shots here and there. But I think your point is very, very strong, you know, except where you are in life.
And plus too, you know, I think what we've said a bazillion times on the show is having any kind of activity is great, right? So maybe you obviously, you know, and you, and as we're all saying, you can't, you know, you have to judge where you're at in life. So it's just the little things and finding something that is your passion and that you enjoy doing, because at the end of the day, that's what you have to connect to, because then you're going to be more inclined to do that activity. And right. I think that, you know, all these different things, you know, we're always talking about, you know, clearing your head, and especially during this time with, you know, mental health. And I think, you know, we're throwing around this word mindfulness, and I feel maybe some people out there don't even know necessarily what mindfulness really means.
Right.
So Beck, I think we should dive into mindfulness, you know, in this journey of our conversation.
Right.
So how would you describe mindfulness?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my journey into mindfulness, but mindfulness is a word that can mean a million different things. I mean, like, you know, if you're on a diet or if I'm on a diet and someone says, you know, be mindful of what you're eating, we know what that means, right? It could be just be mindful, be aware, be focused. So that's just a very kind of like a little bit about what the bigger picture of mindfulness is and really what it is to you and what your goals are, you know, to being mindful. So, you know, it's really understanding in the present moment. A lot of people find mindfulness through meditation. A lot of people find, you know, mindfulness through accepting and acknowledging where you are in life and just dealing with life with, you know, the gifts that you have and have been given, and just kind of treat people in a certain way. You know, a lot of people, you know, have mental health issues or physical issues. So that's a big picture that I want to talk about when we come back after the break, is being aware of, you know, your mental health and your physicalness. And then, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more after the break, and we'll be right back with WCWP.org, Project Independence and Youth.